Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, everybody, this is Joel Hoekstra of Whitesnake, and you're tuned into Side Jams with Brian Reason.
Greetings, everyone. This is Brian Reason, host of Side Jams, where we talk to musicians about their outside passions and their hobbies. And today, I'm speaking with Austin John Winkler, who... Singer and songwriter. You know him as originally as a frontman for Hinder, but he's been doing a lot of solo stuff recently. You've actually put out a lot of singles.
Yeah, I'm just kind of getting my feet back in the water, man. Like I was kind of out of it for a good 4 or 5 years with battling addiction and stuff like that. So I'm just testing the waters, man. Slowly getting back into it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I met you in 2008 because I was hired to do the bio for the second Hinder album. Right. Take It to the Limit, which is very 80s Sunset Strip rock, so that was appropriate for my childhood. And then we did I saw you guys at Best Buy or Nokia, I think now it's called Palladium.
Yeah.
Another bio 2 years later, and then we chatted for this book, for the hair metal section. But it's been like over 10 years now, and I know a lot has happened. I mean, obviously, you put out singles like Super Jaded, and there's Carry On, and now you have the sort of the remake or the reboot of Lips of an Angel as with a female duet at Shaylin.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That, you know, it's been a lot of fun getting back into it. And, this re-release, man, it just kind of came at a time where I was just like, yeah, it made all the sense in the world to do it. You know, working with Brian Howes, who did the original, and having the TikTok surge on Lips of an Angel, just people either making fun of it or trying to redo it and make it their own and stuff like that. You know, it just kind of made sense to get in there and try to reintroduce this song to a whole new, you know, generation of music fans. So.
Yeah. TikTok is just so bizarre. It's like just anything can blow up in your leg. It's cool, but at the same time, it's unusual. So basically the inspiration for this new version was the fact that it suddenly got traction.
Yeah. You know, it got a lot of buzz on TikTok with every, you know, girls doing their own, kind of own versions. And, you know, it's kind of a timeless song in a way that, like, there's going to be, you know, those moments of weakness where you think about, well, maybe, what about this person? You know, what about, I'm probably what shit should have stayed with this person, or maybe I'll call them and see what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like there's always going to be that what if kind of thing. And I think the song just kind of lends itself to being kind of generational, as far as like whenever you go eventually get to that point in your life.
Yeah, and I was listening again to Super Jaded, which came out last year, and obviously you've gone on this big journey of getting sober. I remember in 2008, that wasn't a crazy partying day. I do remember though, right before I was going to leave, I think Cody was like, let's do Jaeger Bull shots. Yay. And then I'm like, now I can't leave and drive the 3 hours home right away.
Yeah,
so we kind of sober up, go to McDonald's, I got some food, and then a couple hours later I was gone. You've been very open about this stuff, which is great. And I know you're not like a sober coach, but I know you've gone through this journey. You're sharing your story, which I think is important. And also you, as you said, before we got on, you like to help people if you can, offer your advice. I'm curious when all of this kind of craziness started for you. Was that a result of the big success you had early on in the rock and roll lifestyle, or were there other things that came into play?
Well, you know, obviously the success and having accessibility to kind of the whole entire party and controlling the party, you know, and the narrative and stuff like that. Like, yeah, that definitely kind of boosted it. But I mean, I had always been drawn to, you know, something to make me escape, you know, ever since I was a young kid, you know, it's just kind of a way and kind of a fun way to escape. And that's all I do 20 years apparently. So, you know,
wow.
Yeah.
So it really wasn't as much pressing life issues as much as you got caught up in the party.
Well, I mean, there obviously, you know, there's always underlying issues as far as like, you know, I'm not being able to get up and perform and get on stage. Obviously, there's something deeper going on than me just enjoying the party, right?
Yeah.
So there's always underlying issues, I think, whenever you get to a certain point of the party and you just, you kind of, you can think you're invincible and you're just going to sit there and not, you'll be special and you'll be able to stop or you'll be able to, you know, carry on through it. And, you know, that's not the case, man. Like, it's not the case at all.
Yeah, no, it's tricky. But I've known a couple, being in the entertainment industry, obviously, and in my life, I've known a couple of people, including a former neighbor, who are functioning alcoholics, and like just, you know, you see how people get caught up in the excuses too. It was Friday night, had a rough week, don't be a wet blanket, or like if they think they've had two or three drinks, they've had five.
Right.
A whole litany of things that go on there. But I guess for you, it got very intense, though. I mean, this was going on for years. Then you got to the point, I think a few years ago, you said you got into dialysis.
Oh, yeah. No,
how did that all come about? I mean, this obviously was a gradual process.
Yeah, it was obviously over time of me just partying and drinking and, you know, tons of opiates. You know, all that stuff is just anything that's bad for your liver. I love opiates. I love drinking. And it all caught up to me probably around 2019. I got to the point where I was so bad that I was only all I needed was like two shots of vodka, and then I wouldn't drink anymore. I would just be hallucinating. My brain was, and I was so far gone, and I was completely yellow. And I hadn't looked in the mirror or whatever. And the doctor was like, why are you so yellow? And I had no clue. I had no clue I was yellow. But I had went in. I had went in to the doctor because I felt like something was like my blood was leaking in my brain or whatever. And, you know, it was very, very not pretty towards the end. You know what I mean? Like I said, just two shots. And that was just to keep me from shaking. And so I could think that I was functioning. But man, I thought that I had the cast of House of a Thousand Corpses. Have you seen that movie?
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So here, the last month of me using was waking up, having a couple shots of vodka so I could just function. And I would just peek around the room thinking that these guys are going to come out and get me. Like, it was full blown, like, and I would full blown paranoia. And I would tell this story 2 months after I hadn't had a drink in the hospital, like I would still tell the story thinking it would be true, like trying to convince my friends and family, like it was crazy. They were in the fucking closet. And that was just, dude, it was just from drinking two shots of vodka, and that was only to stop shaking. And then I would just hallucinate the rest of the day. I did that for about a month.
Wow. And I know you were in dialysis, and then, so they said that you had liver and kidney failure. Did you have to, did you have to have any or like a liver replacement?
I was on the list to get it. And then, you know, I was 9 solid months of dialysis. I mean, I was going see 4 or 5 hours a day, 4 times a week. And wow. Yeah. And I, one day I walked in and the doc was like, we're going to see if we can take you off dialysis for 2 weeks and see how it goes. Cause I was, you know, generating urine at that time. So it took me off for 2 weeks, and I flew to Nashville and recorded Super Jaded while I still had a catheter sticking out of my chest. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, and Super Jaded, I mean, you can feel the emotion in that.
Yeah, song. Man. Yeah. And you know, it is a song that I had written that had propelled me back into this business, which is great. Like it made me fall in love with music again, which is something that I had not been a fan of for years.
I mean, you did an EP in 2016,
right?
You know, but I think you were, you liked some of it, but I think you were trying to find yourself again. I mean, Hinder actually kind of changed a lot, even the course of the 4 albums you were on.
Yeah.
The first album had more of a contemporary 2000 sound. The second album was like 80s, kind of through a current lens. And then the third album was almost like a metal record in spots. And I was like, wow, these guys are really like.
Yeah, that was all over the map. And, you know, with the EP that I put out in 2016, man, I was a train wreck. I was a train wreck, just, you know, throwing stuff against, just trying to, you know, because I'd done rock for so long, I wanted to try and do something a little different, you know. And, you know, I go back and listen to it now, and it's, I mean, maybe it was the best of what I could do at the time, but it's definitely not my best work.
Well, you got to go through those periods. I mean, it seems like also you were struggling with a lot of other things.
No, absolutely.
You know, what people talk about sort of the moment they decide or they realize they're going to become sober. Was it really one moment or was it a series of things? Because there's certain cliches that go along with a lot of these issues, but sometimes it's not as cut and dry as all that, it seems like. Depends on the person.
It definitely depends on the person and what their availability is to give stuff up or move on and stuff like that. But I, you know, I took the long way, you know, I took the fucking long way to get there. I had probably seven rehabs that I was in and, you know, 8 sober livings and stuff like that. So it was gradually, obviously I was something that I wanted to have happen and achieve because I just kept trying to do it and it just wasn't taking. And I'll tell you what, man, looking at yourself in the mirror and looking like a Simpsons character will definitely, and having the doctor say you may never get your color back, that will definitely scare you into sobriety. That played some part, but that was like definitely, yeah. When I saw myself, I was like, I definitely have hit, this is my bottom, and I fucking hit it. So there's lots of different bottoms. And there's lots of times that I thought that this was the bottom, but until, like, you know, I spent 3 months in the hospital, 24 days in the ICU. Like, that was the biggest sign and the biggest gift. I mean, as much fucking hell as it was a gift for me, you know? It was a gift given to me to be like, you get a second chance, but this is clearly not where you're going.
Yeah, I know someone who had been drinking too much and they did get yellow and they did have to get a liver transplant. And then once you're at that point, it's like you can't drink again ever.
Right. Yeah.
And that's sort of a forced sobriety, which, you know, I'm curious because you've talked about that the doctor said you were like 5 days away from dying, essentially. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you think there are some people such as yourself that can overcome these things? And what is it? And why is there some people who can't? Have you figured out what makes that? Where I've always been curious, because there's some people who just are going to keep going through that cycle over again. There's some people like Rob Halford from Judas Priest. Went into rehab in 86. He got out. He said he never drank again.
Yeah, man.
He had a lot of personal issues that were leading to that drinking, but he said he just stopped.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, man. I mean, obviously I can sit here and be like determination, and if you really want to do it, you can do it. But I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's times like that I even accepted, like while I was in dialysis, I was like, this is my life from now on. Like, cause I didn't, it's very rare to get off dialysis and just have a life to where it seemed like it didn't happen. But you know, there was times when I was just like, this is it for me. So I can very much see why some people either get out or they don't. And I think for me, I'm just very lucky, to be honest. I mean, that's not much of a life, dude. You know what I mean? Being on dialysis isn't much of a life. So I didn't really have a whole lot of fucking hope going on to it, but I mean, I somehow was able to get through it and do everything the doctor said and, you know, didn't give up on, I mean, I picked up the guitar even, you know, even though I was so sick and I didn't want to, but I was able to just get something out that I had believed in.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to translate what you're actually feeling, and that was actually feeling in that moment, and I was able to portray it into Super Jid.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do have the music, and that's something that I think is important. I mean, I feel like people should have an artistic outlet, regardless of whether they make a living at it or not.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's very important. Now, you got sober in March of 2019, and then a year later, the pandemic hits, which I'm sure for a lot of people who are addicts was very, very difficult. So how did you get through that whole situation?
Well, you know, like it's terrible. It was terrible to think about. I had just gotten off dialysis. So I got on dialysis May of 2019 and I just got off of it. Like, yeah, right before the shutdown, like right before it happened. So, you know, I had the music thing going. I had started to exercise and swim and stuff like that. Like, just those little things that you hear about while you're drinking or partying. And you're like, ah, well, what's that going to do? You're like, it actually really, really, really sets your mind and it actually really, really helps. So that's something that I religiously do every day is go first thing in the morning to swim. So that's definitely helpful.
That discipline sounds like it helps. I mean, you obviously, you had been touring a lot too, so there had been some discipline coming from music, even if you were partying.
Of course.
Still had to get on the road and still do things. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I mean, over the years, I was looking at a lot of the lyrics, you know, the recent stuff too. Mm. You know, and you're obviously super jaded. Well, super jaded also on top of dealing with your toxic relationship with substances, you're also dealing with personal relationships too, right? Because there's certain relationships that become problematic.
Well, absolutely. And that's essentially what Super Jaded is about. It's about letting go of anything in your life that's letting you be you, that's getting in the way of you being who you actually are and what you're here for. And I had so much shit in my life that was preventing me to get on stage, preventing me from getting in the studio, preventing me to be what I was supposed to be here for. And that particular song is about letting go of all the, you know, people and like I said, substances and just situations, whatever is toxic for you, just letting it go. And those were all the people that, you know, made me who I thought was me. So it was basically letting myself go too. So.
Yeah. I mean, you seem more relaxed. I think when the first time I interviewed you, it was a while for the bio, like 15 years ago now, it's going down. Yeah. But you were a little more wary of the press. Like I was asking you a couple of questions. You're like, reporter questions. And I'm like, no, I'm writing the bio. For you. I could see it too. You guys probably got people prying into your lives in certain ways at that point.
For sure. You know, and we definitely had to, we've learned lessons the hard way of who you let in your lives too. So it's definitely difficult when you get to that level of success.
Well, I remember on the tour bus, there was a sign right on the wall for the bunk beds that said no cell phones or cameras beyond this point.
And I'm like, huh. Yeah, we try to keep it pretty private on the bus, but you know, you live and learn too. So there's a reason why that sign was there, right?
Well, yeah, because you know what? I know, because the boys get in trouble, and then on top of that, like people post stuff on social media, which is definitely a change in rock and roll. When I was backstage at the Best Buy / Pavilion / whatever they want, Palladium, whatever they call it now. You know, you guys definitely wanted to kind of keep the party going. I felt like by the 2000s, a lot of that era was gone, and I felt like you were trying to kind of keep it.
Definitely were, man. I mean, we were definitely the band to try and bring that big, you know, the big party back to rock and roll, and in a lot of ways, we achieved that. I promise you that.
Well, I mean, and you know, in the past years, man, let's look at some of the other lyrics here too, because. I mean, Carry On, you kind of talk about looking, you're not recognizing yourself in the mirror, you know, you talk American dreams, you do talk about, like you've talked about your love of that pursuit of the American dream. And I guess we've never really ever gotten over the gold rush. That's one of the things we don't seem to have. The Wild West and the gold rush are two things that we never, and Puritanism, we never seem to have gotten over. Like it just sort of always exists there. And at the same time, though, you find yourself chasing things that aren't always there. Like for you now, when you're looking at your art and looking at your life, how has your perspective changed over the Austin I met, like back in 2008?
Well, I mean, it's definitely changed as far as like what's important to me now. I mean, obviously, world domination, but in 2008 was the main goal. And you know, for me, like it's now kind of about, you know, actually writing about how I survive this fucked up world and it's a crazy world we live in, man. So if I can write a song now that at least a few people that, you know, can relate to, then I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing here for, you know. And I mean, let's face it, Get Stoned was a party rock song, you know. It had a specific audience in mind and stuff like that. So now I'm just kind of really trying to dig into who I am now and trying to translate that the best I can.
So like now when you meet people or you have friends who might be struggling with certain addiction issues or you want to give advice, like what are the kind of things do you talk about? And also how do you sort of explain in a way where it's like a lot, I mean, just anytime you're dealing with any sort of issues, there's always sort of seeing the same cliches that come up, right? Are there ways that you can dress it up in a different way to make people think differently about what they're grappling with?
Oh, as far as like, you know, if they have addiction issues, man, it's being so deep in it, you know, all I can do is say that whenever you're dealing with like the lowest of the low, and like, cause I mean, I've had more money in my fucking bank account than I had ever dreamed of. And I've been on the floor of my, you know, my house, just the most miserable I've ever been before. And that's what that, I mean, it takes away from your life whenever you whenever you use and stuff like that. So whenever you use to that extent, I mean, I my situation was insanely worse, and I'm not saying that that's why I got better. I'm saying that I didn't have a choice. You know, like, if I'm going to give some advice to people, it would be that you're stealing days and minutes and time away from who you are and who you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to like be here for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way you can put it, is that you're fucking yourself over, and either you're going to make it through it or you're not. And I was lucky and got through it. And I mean, it's a struggle though. You struggle every day with it. Like,
so do you feel like in some ways you're starting over?
Oh, I feel like in a lot of ways I'm starting over. I mean, you know, I didn't have, like, I mean, Hinder was Hinder. I didn't have my own personal social media. I didn't have an agenda. Like, that was who I was at the time, and that's it. And once I stepped away from that, there's not a whole lot of people that know the name Austin John Winkler, but they fucking know Hinder, right? So it's like, yeah. In a way, I am starting over. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's going to be a long road, but I'm here for it.
Just very quickly, I mean, you mentioned exercise. Like, what kind of exercises do you do, and how has that helped you with your singing as well?
Oh man, honestly, I love to run and swim, but lately I've just been swimming every day. And I do, man, I swim a mile every day, and then I go and sit in the sauna for 20 minutes, and I feel so wasted after I get out of the sauna after that 20 minutes and swimming, and you're as high as you can be. So that's all I do. That's all I do these days, is just try to keep it simple and get it done, and try to face this world.
Are there any other things that you do that for recreation, or things that just make you happy beyond music?
Man, there's not a whole lot, man. I like movies, and I like to escape through a good horror film, but you know, they're far and few between these days. I'm struggling to find. I like to pull some inspiration from movies too, if the line hits me right or something like that. So I spend a lot of time watching movies.
You know, you mentioned music hairs,
because
I'm a Grammy voting member for almost 20 years. So I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. I guess they actually helped you out a bit during this whole period.
Music hairs definitely is an amazing program that helped me out when I first started to try to get sober. They took care of me, and they put me up and helped me get like a whole 3 months of treatment, and
really?
put me where I needed to be and stuff like that. Yeah, that Music Cares is definitely an amazing program that if anybody is struggling, you know, any musician struggling, I would reach out to them, because they will definitely do all they can to help you.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you, man. It was fun to catch up with you.
Appreciate it. Yeah, man. Good talking to you again, man.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.